I just talked to a couple of you back there, and then we go home. But now you put me on the spot. You might want to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. In our study, as we have been moving through Jeremiah, remembering, if you would, that the 10 tribes in the north, 100 years ago approximately, went into captivity by way of Assyria. They have learned nothing from that, and you'll catch that, if you could, in chapter 7, verse 15. I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. That's the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And they've already gone into a captivity. Now here's approximately 100 years later. And Judah and Jerusalem have learned nothing. They are going on a course that is not very good at all. And their heart gets harder and harder. And the more you avoid growing, the more you avoid knowing, that isn't good. And so now, here's Israel, Judah, I should say, and Jerusalem. And remember, they had Hezekiah, a very good king, and they lived through that. And then they had Manasseh, a very bad king, and he was a king for 55 years. Then they had Josiah, a good king, but the heart was set. And in order to catch that flavor of that, you want to think of the Israelites going out of Egypt to the Sinai Peninsula, etc., and going out there. And when they went out, they didn't want to, as a general people, they didn't want to leave Egypt. They were slaves, and they were used to their slavery, to their diet, to their way of life. Generation after generation after generation. So, as they are out in the wilderness for 40 years, they're there, and Moses keeps them and holds them in check. Because Moses, how are you going to fight with Moses? Because Moses is so connected to God that going up and down the mountain, and they knew that. Plus, they had the tabernacle, the cloud by day, the fire by night, and that reminds you of Moses and God. So you behave yourself. But their heart, they had no heart. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. They had no heart. They're there, but they had no heart. And in the process, when they come to the end, Moses already tells them that they're going to get, that once he goes, it's going to get worse. You guys didn't get your heart right. And so when the heart isn't right, it gets harder. So a people, generation, another generation, it gets harder. Gets harder. It's just they're less familiar with God, less understanding about God, and the next generation. Think of the generation you have now that goes to church. And I want you to go back to the, you don't have to go back that far, but to the 40s, the 50s, 40s, 50s. And they would be shocked at the general church today. They never knew such things. They weren't there, but what I'm trying to illustrate is, as time has gone on since then, the general populace that goes to church are less and less spiritually minded, less and less biblically alert, intelligent. They're sort of stupid about everything, spiritually. And it's all right. In fact, it's getting worse. The schools are getting worse. And you just had Miss Hermes there. And in the process talking, the schools aren't doing good. Good schools aren't doing good anymore. They have a decline. So now here's Israel. Here's Moses. That's going downhill. You got Joshua. But then, very shortly, within a very short time, you have what? You have the judges, everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. And when are the general pop? You got people that were leading, good guys, bad guys. But the general mood, each generation, was not getting better. That's why you had the 10 tribes in the north and the 2 tribes in the south. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. So you'd say, well, the good king would help. No, you would think so. It slows it down. The church, if it was solid, it would be salty, and you would have never the legislation you have now. It would have never happened. Just think of going back in some of your own lifetime. A divorced man would never be considered for president. A person with a little mental problem, a person with anything that wasn't straight down the line, you wouldn't even consider him, let alone the gay and everything else. It wouldn't exist. But that isn't true today. So here's Jeremiah, Jerusalem, Judah, going down. The heart gets harder, harder. And thus, in the process of that, then God goes so far, as we shared last time, and go up to chapter 7 and verse 16. Chapter 7 and verse 16. And you'll note, God, having said, I'll read a little better context there. I'll read in verse 14. Therefore will I do unto this house, Jerusalem, and the temple, which is called by my name, wherein you're trusting. Remember, you're trusting to use your religious system, which you've made. You've made Judaism a religious system. And you're trusting the religious system to give you the freedom, the license to live any old way you please. So we keep the church, we keep the religion, we keep the ritual, we keep the Bible, we keep that, but are we connected? No. We have a temple. Do we care about God in the temple? No. Nope. Do we know God in the temple? Nope, we don't. And thus, I have to even go back further. I don't mean to drift. Verse 10. Come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In other words, we're using it as a hideout. The church, it becomes a sanctuary. The temple becomes a sanctuary to do whatever we want. And we're safe here. See, we're Christians. Isn't that good enough? We are. So we can do as we please. And that's now. And you slide down. And in verse 11, is this house... Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers, of thieves, gangsters in your eyes? Behold, I have even seen it, saith the Lord. And then sliding down to verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works or deeds, saith the Lord, rising up early, the verb is used of getting out of bed early and starting. It would be used of caravans, camels. You get everyone loaded up early in the morning to take the trip. You start your business, you start the day early in the morning and roll up your sleeves and you go down the corridor of time. You're ready to go, packing, shipping, doing whatever they were doing. And that's the word. God said, listen, I want you to know that I have been up early every day to bring a message to you. Every day I've got up early to tell you what's happening, and you aren't paying attention. Every day. I start out the day, I roll up my, it's a strong verb, roll up, diligent, I'm going to go do it now. And thus, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, I called unto you, but you answered me not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, that's the temple, wherein you are trusting, trusting in the building, not trusting in the God of the building, unto this place, the place which I gave to you and your father, to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Remember, we did that last time. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Verse 16 now. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Don't bother saying a thing. Boy, the people need help. Don't talk to me about the people. I don't want to hear another word about Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar. It's just going to have to happen. It just has to happen. Now, we share together, the heart gets so hard, so hard. There's no room for mercy. And that's the problem. The heart, God, as we shared last time, God would be merciful. All they had to do was cry out in the lousiest, worstest, most terrible situation you could be in. All they had to do was cry out to God. And they didn't do it. Just didn't do it. So there was no way. No way. There was no room in their heart for God's, for mercy to get into their heart, to receive God's grace and mercy. They had no room for it. That's a terrible place to be in. They learn nothing from history. Nothing. They're going to repeat history in a worse way. Now, having said that and keeping that a little bit in front of us and in the light of everything here, over, if you would, to chapter 7 and in verse 27. 7 and 27. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but when you're going to tell them everything, do they have an ear to hear? No. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. They will not. Jeremiah, they aren't interested. They aren't interested. And Jeremiah standing at the temple gate, at one of the gates, and telling the people as they come in and out, you got to amend your ways, you got to change your ways, you're in great trouble. But they didn't listen. Chapter 14. The remnant is going to listen. Jeremiah will listen. There's Daniel, Jeremiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, they're there. Ezekiel, they're there. They're going to listen. But, so now, chapter 14, verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities, and remember we share together, the word testify is the word answer. They would not answer me, reply. They wouldn't do it. That's the word you have translated here, testimony, testify. They would not. Though our iniquities testify, they answer against us. Do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. We have sinned against thee. God, we're going in the wrong direction, in the wrong way, and it isn't going well. Now, that's the heart, but that's only two or three people comparatively. The rest of the people don't want it. And you know from elsewhere that the remnant was booted out. They were the believing believers. And the nation kicked them out mentally and practically. You still understand that? Here's our Christian nation. And we aren't against religion. But you know, we're kicking out Bible-believing believers. We're kicking out the Bible. So what are you going to have? You'll have a godless nation. That's what Israel has, a godless nation. And thus the remnants, fine. It's the nation itself has abandoned the remnant of believers, leaving them without any. Without anyone that's a believer. Thus their umbrella, the believing heart that makes an umbrella for the people around them, is gone. Now, if you would, just to put some of that in focus. Over, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. What I'd like to try to do to this for you, since you're here in this night, is to be encouraged. And thus, Psalm 42, here they are. Remember now, you don't want your heart to get that hard. Don't let it get that hard. What you do is as quick as possible, when you find you can't pray, run quick as you can and pray. When you won't open your Bible, as quick as you can, grab it in your hand at least. At least start there. You're at least going in the right direction. To let it alone, to walk away, that's going to lead to the next thing, and you'll find, just think of people that you should be saved and they aren't saved. Why aren't they saved? Could they be saved today? But if they aren't saved today, why are they going to be saved tomorrow? If I don't want to be saved now, why am I going to be saved tomorrow? If I don't want to get right now, why am I going to want to get right tomorrow? You're making an assumption that you're going to change. But right at the moment, you aren't changing. So why on earth do you think you're going to change? People don't change. They just keep going. Now, Psalm 42. And Psalm 42, you know, in the light of this, we don't want our heart to get hard. In the light of testing, trial, Jeremiah says, hey, listen, God, we're guilty as a nation. And what's happening is legitimate. And God, help us, be merciful to us. And God will be. God will be. And you know that without getting off in it. You know what's going to happen. Babylon's going to come in and take him into captivity. True? And then God's going to tell him, make sure that you honor Babylon. I will bless Israel by way of Babylon. Honor them. I've allowed them to take you captive. You trust them. Trust them. By that I mean, you aren't going to, don't fight them. I've given them power. Don't fight them. Just go with them, and I'll bless you. And all they had to do is honor that. And to some extent they did. Now, in Psalm 42, here we are, and testing and all the things. God, we want to get a thing. I want to answer. God said, I'm trying to help you, so answer me. All right? So then, what do we have that helps us? Trial, test, trouble. And thus, and we want to have a heart for God. We don't want to be without that. Verse 2, 42, 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, remember now, you're God conscious because of the trial, the test, the trouble in your life, which is good. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Before I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy, going to the right place for the right reasons, a joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. They're going to honor God. And thus, what are you going to do? Well, what's going to happen? Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Do I need to be depressed when you're in You're in with the physician, the great physician. You're with the great administrator. You're coming before the one who has all the answers and has all the power and can do whatever has to be done. So when you come into the presence of that person, you ought to be not sad, you ought to be glad, because whatever your problems are, he can fix them. True? He can fix them. So you don't come sad. No, you changed. You were down, weepy and wailing and everything, wondering about things. But then I looked to God, and all of a sudden, everything became very small. The problems that were so big shrunk. They're not so big anymore. Now, and thus, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, agitated within me? Hope, anticipate, expect, hope, find your hope, expectancy in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help, the healing of his countenance. God, am I not going to come? I'm not going to come to you. Now you could come and you could think of things. Could you have a plumber come to your house? And the situation was so bad that he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. I'll give you a more alive illustration. Our dear plowman, who is so efficient, couldn't find any sand to put out there. He said, no one has any sand. I tried Newington, Middletown, everywhere. No one has any sand. No one has any sand. Now, I'm going to make him. I told him to be of good cheer, and I talked to him. Now, but he could have been down in the dumps. He looks at the ice. He sees everything. I can't do anything about it. Have you ever been in front of a doctor when you had a problem and the doctor looked down and tears dropped from his eyes, make believe, and he looked down and he said, oh, woe is me, and then looked up at you? You may have been there. Had a doctor like that. You can't come to God and find God that he isn't delighted to be who he is, whatever your problem is. There is no problem. If you have the resources and know the right person, whatever is a problem in your life is no more a problem, is it? The plumber has all the answers. Make believe. He comes in, fixes it. The doctor knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. So now, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I don't want to be, not at all. And in the process, while you're there, verse 11, since you're there, or in verse 10, because I'm after that, where is thy God? Where is thy God? That's what the remember as they go into captivity, is Jerusalem, Judah. And they sing. And the Babylonians want to hear their songs of victory. And they sing, you know, Psalm. How can we sing the songs of victory when we're in this condition, headed into captivity? They couldn't sing them. But if they'd sung them earlier, they would have never, Nebuchadnezzar would have never got there. Wow. Now, so verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. For who is? He is the health, the healing, the hope of my countenance. His face makes my face light up. I still have the same problem, but God, you're happy about what to do. I'm going to be happy that you know what to do. That's easy, isn't it? It isn't. You know what to do. God knows what to do, and you know that God knows what to do. And that gives you the confidence that God, can you do it? I can. Now, having said that, over if you would, oh, Psalm 73. In Psalm 73 is the believing heart again. And what we're doing is we're trying to know what Israel should have been doing. They should have been looking to God and not get a hard heart and going to have where you, God said, don't bother praying for them. Don't bother praying for them. Don't pray. I don't want to hear that. Psalm 73, you know the problem. Truly God is good to Israel, verse 1. Even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me and my feet were almost gone. My steps well nigh near slipped. I was very slippery. I was going to fall. I was in trouble. Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I looked and said, boy, look at how well the world does, my neighbor does, the other person at work does, the other people do, families, friends, enemies, socially and whatever. I think that's going to be harder and harder to find anywhere in the world. You certainly aren't going to find it in Syria, in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. Where are you going to find it? You are going to find it. Canada, where are you going to go? Yeah, boy, it's going to get hard. Yes, sir. That's good, though. Wake us up. Pick up, please. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and going down to verse 10, therefore his people return hither, the waters of a full cup are wrung out unto them, for they say, what God, are they getting any better? No. They say, how doth God know? God doesn't know. God doesn't care. Is there knowledge of the Most High? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God have any way to understand what's happening in our life on planet Earth? Does God know anything? Does God care? Does God know? God doesn't understand where we live and how we live. God doesn't know. So now, then what happens when you do that? So you could have said that to Jeremiah in Jeremiah's day. Verse 16, I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought about all of it, I said, boy, the world doesn't care 2 cents, and look at how well they seem to do. But until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. When I got to God, everything changed. When I looked to God, everything changed. And thus, as you know, the wonderful statement, so foolish, verse 22, I woke up. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. God, here present, here and now, you're able to get me through whatever is going on. And I'm going to end up in the right place, in the right way, for the right reasons. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And you'll get to that point, you know, when you're all done. And you have to get there. It won't come. I need this person. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. And you'll get to where you don't need. That person's important, but not that important. No one's that important, are they? When you sit down, put it together. I ought to care. Sure you should, but you want to care rightly. You want to do that. You can't compete and say, husband, wife, son, daughter, marriage, all this, loves me. No, God loves you. Now, who's going to compare with that? What kind of contest do you want to have between a person's love for you and God's love for you? How's that going to come out? I don't know. I'm interested. Ain't going to come out too good. No, you're going to lose. So therefore, God, I'm going to look to you. And who have I? Your God and the most important person in all the world is you. So my work, my home, my school, my family, my health, my wealth, my pain, my heartache, my headache, God, without you, I have no answers. I have no one there to help me, to be an ever-present help. No one's there, God. So I got to look to you, God, with all my heart, and I'm going to do so. Now, having said that, Over, if you would please, to Job. Job. And in the book of Job, may I go to, let's start a little, remember a little verb, to answer, to respond, to reply, to answer. I asked them, I called them, and they didn't answer me. They wouldn't answer me. I'm going to answer them. Now, here's another person, like the psalmist, like that, like Jeremiah. Here's a good guy. And this good guy is learning how to get along with God. The Judah and Jerusalem are going to go into captivity because they don't know how to get along with God. They don't know how to handle God. They're mishandling him. They don't want to know. Hard heart. So, Job, chapter 16, getting the mood. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Remember, he had his three friends and one other trying to help him. Answer. Watch now. Here's Job, and Job is in a terrible place. He's lost his family, except his wife. And he lost his family, his health, his wealth. He lost everything. And the devil was allowed to really clobber him physically. So he's got, everything's gone. He's sitting on a dunghill there, and his friends come because they care about him. They love him. And they come, and they're trying to help him. You know. But, he says, verse 2, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are you all. See? Now, when you're all done, you would think of it when you have trouble. You say, what do you say to somebody who has a problem? I'm sorry for you. I feel bad for you. What can I do for you? How much are you going to do after that? But, so we're very limited and little. But God isn't. And when you look to God, he is not a miserable comforter. God happens to have the answers. Now, having said that, and thus, I have heard many such things, miserable counsels are you all. Job is saying that to his three, four friends. Now, over, if you would please, to chapter 31. Chapter 31 in Job. And picking up, just to get the flavor of it quickly, Job's looking to God. And Job's trying to... He isn't backing off. He's not running anywhere else. He's not listening to anything else. He's going to look to God in the sanctuary. He's going to get to God. Therefore, 31:24. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, I don't look to idols made of gold and silver or anything else. I don't do that. If I rejoice because of my wealth was great, and it was, my wealth was great, but it isn't anymore, because my hand hath gotten much. Everything I did was blessed, and I had lots and lots of animals and sheep and camels and everything. Verse 26, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. In other words, that's the way they worshipped. The stars, the moon, the astrology, that's what they did. Am I looking to that? Said Job. No, I'm not doing that. No, sir, I'm not doing that. And in verse 28, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied God that is above. In other words, if I get tied up in idolatry, persons, places, and things, and substitute them for God, that's idolatry. And God will judge that. But I'm not doing that. Well, what are you doing, Job? Verse 35. Job wants to get an understanding of what's happening. Oh, that one would bear with me, hear, oh, that one would hear with me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would, there's your little verb, answer me. I just want God to answer me. Answer me, God. And that thine adversary had written a book. Now, if I did something wrong, I don't know what it is. Actually, hang on. I don't know what it is. There's nothing. I don't know where to go. What did I do to get all this, to have all this happen? If my enemy had written a book and had all those things I did wrong, I would like to read the book. I would like to see what I did wrong. How can I fix something when I don't know what it is? Ha! You got it? My adversary. Now, all right, over if you would please to chapter 38. Chapter 38 and in verse 1. Now the Lord, remember, gives him this great, great test of all these questions, one after another, that Job can't answer any of them. Chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job. God said, answer me. Job said, answer me. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now that's Job. And Job has a wonderful understanding of God, but only a little understanding compared to the infinite understanding of God. Therefore, God's helping him. And therefore, Job, what do you really know? Now, so you could say that. Think of what you know. Think of what you know. You may know some subject, some field of thing. You do some kind of work. You do something that you know. You feel confident, and they pay you for it, and it works. But what do you really know? After you got all that you know, what do you know? Really? I say, I know this. But in the light of the millions of volumes in the Library of Congress, we shrink. We don't know. Job, you think you know. I'm a saved man. He was. A blessed man. He was. But, Job, you think you understand me, and I am going to let you go through an exercise so that you will learn. It isn't about why I let this happen to you. It's about what I want you to discover. It isn't about why I let all this. I want you to learn something. Now, hang on. And thus, and here's the whole thing, you know. Skipping over, if I can, is all the questions to be asked. Over to Job. Job 40. Job 40, if you would. And here we are again. Moreover, the Lord, after the test, moreover, the Lord answered Job, the Lord speaking to him again, answering him, what shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Are you going to find fault with God? Is that what you want to do? Talk to me and find fault with me? You see? With the Almighty and instruct him, find fault. He that reproveth, he that is going to argue with God, let him answer it. You want to argue with God? You want to discuss with God, debate with God? Is that what you want to do? Who are you? Let's see. Well, I know this. Who are you? And we have to get realistic. We're nobody. No matter who we are. Moses, didn't matter. Who are we? In the light of God, light of anyone. The king, the prince, the pope and potentates, whatever. Who are they? Nobody's. And you're going to, God said, you're going to give me an education. You're going to talk to me and help me. Is that what you're going to do? Discuss with me. Oh, fool, and slow to believe. You don't understand. That's what Job has to learn. Now, and thus you, I'll read it very quickly. In verse 3, then Job answered, there's your little verb, Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? God, what am I going to say to thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer that yet. I'm not, God says, I'm not ready to answer you, God. I'm not ready. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. God, I got the message. Whatever I say is going to be stupid. So, God, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. Ah. Now, then answered the Lord in verse 5. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. And God, you're going to put him a test? Uh-huh. I'm going to help him. Job is being humbled. Absolutely. Job, it isn't a question of why. It's a question of what. And thus, chapter 42, as you know. Job 42. And picking up, if I can, in verse 1, Job, there's your little verb, Job answered, then answered the Lord, replied the Lord, then answered Job, the Lord. Job is finally going to say something. Now let's see how he answers after this. I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, no one, you know everything, God. Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not. I said a whole lot of things, God, and it was all right. I said a whole lot of things in the first grade, but they weren't up to college par. I talked about mathematics, I talked about English, physics, but when I got to the 12th grade, and that's bad, you know. I hate to say it. You probably heard that, did you? The Chinese. I know that. I had to sit and absorb it. The Chinese farmer children, the children of farmers in China, can beat American students. Not any American students. The rich people send the students to the best schools. And taking their scores, the Chinese farmer child beats them. What do you think of that? We ought to send everyone over there to China and then come back here and you could be working the government. I mean, wow. Now, so, God, yeah, I got it. Verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. God, I'm getting it. I'm getting excited about knowing. If anyone knows, did you see my man Job, the perfect heart? And what are you going to do to Job? I'm going to help him. Job, you didn't ask why. No, I'm just trying to understand, God. God said, I'm going to help you. The whole process of all that's happening is to help you discover who I am, to appreciate me. And thus, Job, too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Verse 4, here I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, God, I woke up to who you are in a new and fresh way. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. God, I got it. It was you. It was all about you, to discover you, God. That's right. And by the way, if you kept reading, I'm going to double everything. Your children, your wealth, your animals. You got the message, Job? I took them all away, and I'll make them double. You got the lesson. Learn well. Learn well. And Israel is in the process of learning right now. Between the Assyrian, Babylonian, and Roman captivities, the scatterings, Titus 70 AD. Israel, are you going to wake up? I am. What's it going to take? It's going to take the tribulation to wake you up. By the way, but you will have to miss the tribulation if you're saved. Why? Because God is demonstrating his what, dear friend? His grace. That's why. You aren't super special, neither am I. But the church, which is his body, is special. To that, you belong to that if you're saved. And that's a wonderful thing. Anyway, I got to quit. I hope we got a little bit. Anyway. Now, so we can go to prayer. Spring hasn't come.